Good morning.
Are you sure? It is a great day in the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
We talked this morning in the Bible study how our Lord always provides for us, and He has provided for us today a wonderful day to rejoice and be glad in it. If you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you and a special welcome to all of you online. And we pray that God would just draw us closer to Him this day through His Word and through His sacraments of Holy Communion. And we might just touch base on that a little bit in the message today. So as we begin this morning, please pray with me. Almighty God, we thank and we praise You that we can gather this day and just try once again to understand the depth of Your love for us. Father, open up our hearts and our minds to Your Word. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, as you probably heard, I believe Bob let the cat out of the bag, that this is a new sermon series. Thanks for stealing my thunder. Well, that's okay. Although it was published online, I guess everybody knew.
It was out, yeah.
What we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is the Great I Am. And that's the name of the series, The Great I Am. And we're going to be focusing primarily on the Gospel of John. So get your Bibles ready because we're going to dig into the Gospel of John. If you forgot yours, you can use the Pew Bible, but we're also going to put everything up on the screen. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes these statements, I am. How many of you saw the movie, The Ten Commandments? Yeah. And I'm sure all of you have read and heard throughout the Bible that God's referring to Himself as the great I am, or I am. Jesus uses the term I am over 15 times in the New Testament, and you can see it over 150 times in the Bible, God referring to Himself as I am. Well, that movie, The Ten Commandments, I got to believe I'm not alone on this, because I can remember as a young boy watching Charlton Heston, who's from Detroit, by the way. But you didn't know that, did you? Yeah. Remember when Charlton Heston, when Moses was talking with God, the burning bush, and I mean, that went over my head to begin with, but that's another story for another day. But then, you know, Moses is trying to ask God what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. He goes, now, all right, now I got to go back and tell everybody to follow me. And I'm not really sure how that's going to go. So Moses asked God, remember, who should I say sent me? And then God responded. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 3. God responded, tell the people, is that good enough God voice? Tell the people that I am sent you. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was a young kid, that woof, I made no sense to me. Didn't make any sense. Because I thought it was really weird that God would say that to Moses. Why didn't God just say, well, tell them God sent you? Well, it wasn't until I was quite a bit older when the Holy Spirit started to reveal more and more of the Scripture to me, the more I studied, and gave me a little bit of an understanding as I read and studied just what that name or that title really meant. In John's Gospel, if we read that, it goes into great detail to explain to us just what the term I am really means. And it means that the Creator of all things is the great I am. You know, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago in the Pentecost sermon, that Jesus has many names within the Scripture that he goes by. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to, you know, maybe unpack this a little bit and pray that God would just give us some new insight as to who He is and what He means to us in our lives. So, as I said before, open up your Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 6. And this is where we're going to spend the next few weeks unpacking the seven I am statements. But we have this morning a focus verse. A focus verse is not working. Oh, I got to turn it on. First week. There we go. Jesus said to them, "All right, everybody, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst." I am the bread of life. Ironically, bread, if you look at the beginning of chapter 6, where do we find Jesus? He's on the hillside feeding 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. And that's when Jesus challenged the people there to see that miracle as a very important sign in the ministry of Jesus. Because it was at that point, that critical point of Jesus' earthly ministry, that miracle pointed to the fact that in Jesus, the kingdom of God had come. And Jesus could provide all that they needed to survive. Now, as we look at chapter 6, verses 35 through 51, all those big church theologian guys, they gave it a title. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse. But an interesting side note to this is that at the time John wrote this gospel, the Hebrew Bible, or the Torah, had already become associated with a type of nourishment, spiritual nourishment, that the Jewish people took in and consumed. So this concept of being nourished by the word, it was already somewhat familiar to them. Plus bread, I mean, let's face it, it was already understood to be a basic staple. It was a common food needed to survive. But the underlying message for them, and frankly for us, is that bread, yes, it is something needed to be consumed on a daily basis to nourish us, to sustain us for our healthy physical life. But now, this bread that Jesus talks about, the bread that Jesus offered, is needed for a healthy spiritual life. And in referring to himself as the bread of life, Jesus was proclaiming two very important things in this statement. Number one, he's God's incarnate word, or God in the flesh. In the flesh. And thus, through that statement, Jesus was announcing and proclaiming his divinity. And number two, that he can give everything that they need, that we need to survive. And if you notice the way John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. Yeah, was God. You know, if you read down just a little bit farther and skip down to verse 14, here's where the rubber kind of hits the road for today's message. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So speaking of bread, John chapter 6 gives a great theological understanding for us today with regard to the sacrament of Holy Communion and its rightful place within our worship services today. Because in our lesson this morning, John gets very specific to the significance of the bread that Jesus speaks about this morning. All right, so let's go back to our focus verse for a second. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." See, here Jesus gives three clear points. Number one, I am the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven. Number one, he's God. He is God. Number two, whoever eats this bread or his body will live forever. That means that he will provide them a means to be with God forever in eternity. And number three, the bread that I give, my body, my flesh, is for eternal life, that he came to offer salvation. Now, this was really a foreign concept. They didn't quite get it. But as Jesus goes on, he makes it more and more clear. Because beginning here in John's gospel, it's used 14 times, the phrase, "I am." And if you look at the original language in the Greek, Egoimi is what it means, what it is in the Greek, which simply means, depending on the context of the sentence, and this is why I always love to use the original language, because it paints such a much, much more broad picture. When Jesus says, I am, in the original language, it means, I exist, I live. But the true description, the true translation is, the one who is. So, you know, it's when you read this and you kind of go back to that whole Charlton Heston movie, it's starting to make a little bit more sense. See, John is telling us that as we experience the life and the teachings of Jesus, that we are in fact seeing the very presence of God in our lives. John is proclaiming in his gospel to the people that Jesus was not just another prophet who come to explain the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus was not just giving another way to view the ancient texts. He was giving a true meaning, God's meaning of the truth of God's will in our lives. For what John is telling us is that the word of the Father was not just symbolically present in Jesus. In Jesus, the Word of God became flesh. John's language was quite specific in his gospel here with regard to the divinity of Jesus. We saw that in John 1:1. He was God. And now that brings us to the heart of the reading this morning. It is that the incarnate, the living Word of God, this bread of life is here, and he came from heaven. Now, the people just were really struggling with this concept. As we heard in the gospel reading, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? This can't be God. See, Jesus not only spent his earthly life proclaiming God's word in steadfast love and faithfulness for the Father, he also demonstrated a life of service. Remember that, because we're going to circle back to that in a little bit. That we might know fully know the will of God in our lives. And in doing this, Jesus was able to bridge the gap, if you will, between us in a world of sin and the Father. But it was not just the words that Jesus spoke that reveals the wisdom of God. And it was not just the miracles that Jesus performed that showed us God's presence is working in Jesus' life. No, it was Jesus himself in flesh, blood, and bone. That is God's presence with us. Emmanuel, which we use through Christmas. Emmanuel means, come on class, we know, God with us. Yeah, God with us. Jesus himself came and lived a perfect life. Here in chapter 6, in the dialogue that Jesus has with the crowd, by the way, that just earlier he just fed 5,000. So the dialogue that he has with the crowd, Jesus makes it clear that it is not just his teachings. It is not just his ability to perform miracles. Jesus tells them that he must also give his very life, his flesh, to atone for our sins. And that he is in us by eating this bread of life that he was explaining to them. And by putting our faith in Jesus, that we now can have eternal life. These are the things that when we're with those people that we know that are struggling so hard to make sense of, this is what we tell them. But is it any wonder when Jesus said to the crowd in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Is there any wonder that the people cried out in shock? How can this be? I mean, let's face it, this language is pretty rough, isn't it? Anybody struggle with this today? Go ahead, I do. Yeah. It's not a concept we're really comfortable with. See, here's another interesting side note to this whole flesh thing. When the word body is used, remember when Jesus, as we will do shortly, this is instituting the Lord's Supper? Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Well, the noun flesh is more indicative to the Semitic language that was probably used in the Hebrew or the Aramaic translations at the time. So clearly the term flesh had a much deeper meaning. See, in the Hebrew context, it means the entire person. This bread is my flesh. It means the entire person. And this is important because this holds true for us even today. The entire person. So in Jesus' case, this means both man and God. Because we can never separate the humanity of Jesus from the divinity of Jesus. So when Jesus says he is the bread of life, he is telling us that he feeds us not only spiritually, but through every aspect of his presence in our lives. So what does this mean to all of us today? It means that this meal that we are about to partake of, the Holy Supper, this is what's called, maybe you might remember this from your confirmation days, a means of grace. Remember that? A means of grace. And it simply means this is a way that God physically touches you this morning with his body and his blood, in which the crucified man and the risen Christ are truly present to nourish us in our faith. That also gives purpose in which we must seek to live a more meaningful relationship with God in our lives. And this is really done very easily in three different ways. Number one, study of his word. I told you I'd circle back to this. How many of you are in active Bible study? Okay. How many wish you were in active Bible study? Yeah. Small groups. A lot of small groups meeting. How many small groups? Join a small group. Start a small group. I visit the ladies. Tuesday morning, 10:30, come here and join us, or join them. I just stop in for coffee and donuts, but there aren't any. Working on that, right? Okay. But do a daily devotion. Go to portals of prayer. You know, do something to be in study every single day. Remember I said earlier, Jesus lived a life of service? Serve. Serve the church. If you can't serve the church, serve your neighborhood. Can't serve your neighborhood, serve your family. Find a way to serve in the name of Jesus. Share the gospel with someone. Here at the church, we have missions that we are our missions of the month. There's many places, St. Paul's and Pontiac. Come and see me after service. We can get a list of places that you can serve. And three, be faithful in worship. That means on vacation too. How many of you go to church on vacation? We're going to work on that. Next year. You know, it's really interesting to go on to visit a different church on your vacation. Pastor doesn't know you, so you can pretty much do anything you want and watch your phone. And no, just kidding. But find a place to offer your love and your praise. Join with the body of Christ. All right, let me just kind of bring this to a close and tie it all together, because unlike what we read earlier, unlike the perishable manna that God gave to Israel through Moses, Jesus comes down here from heaven now to us. The true bread to give us life to all of those who believe in him. And the key to our conversion, our key to our understanding, is what Jesus says in chapter 6. No one, let me repeat that just in case you didn't catch it. No one can come to the Father or come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Friends, we all come to the Father through our faith in the Son. This faith is given through the work of the Holy Spirit. We talked a lot about that the past 2 weeks. And then through that is an understanding of God's Word. So above all, friends, we must always remember and cling to the fact that Jesus gave his entire life as a sacrifice for our sin. He did this that we might know the entire love of God as his children to life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have shown us. The love of Jesus, the true manna that came down from heaven. But Father, we also thank you for the love that you've shown us through those who have come to us in times of need. Those friends, those people that you have put in our lives that have shown us the love of Jesus in our times of struggle. Lord, as we try to make sense of this bread that came down from heaven, Father, we just thank you that you do provide everything that we need. You nourish us through your word and through your sacraments. So gracious Lord, we just stop and give you praise, all in the precious name of he who came down, the living bread, Jesus. Amen.